know, we've got about an hour.
Okay.
You know, so I mean, anything you wanted to contribute to the group is, you know, astronomically useful and appreciated. And then, you know, we've got all weekend. If anybody has any specific things,
yeah, bring me off to the side if you want to do something.
Yeah. Terry gets deals done.
Specifically about real estate right now. I'll cover some of this tomorrow. I'm speaking on, I've got graphs and charts because analytical people like those numbers and graphs that make sense. But for the last 18 months, we've seen the median price of real estate drop for 18 months straight. We're seeing support now. There's bouncing at the bottom. Okay. We're about 5% undervalued, which all indications would say that people should be buying now. But they're not because the fear is still out there. The two motivating factors are fear and greed. And right now, fear is holding people back.
Not to derail you, but the 5%, is that resolved down from commercial and residential together?
It's across the board. Usually, our commercial follows residential by 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, I was just talking about that this week.
And so, you know, you're going to see that probably some lag there. Price points right now, I don't care where you're at, there are hurting scooters, okay? There are people out there that are desperate. I've got a friend of mine, he has a strip center, it's worth $3 million, he owes $1 million, and the bank said, we're not going to refinance you. Unless he finds private money, they're going to foreclose and capture that $2 million equity. By us giving the banks all this money, they don't need to work any deals. What we're seeing right now, and these are the bigger banks, if you have a property that's worth $100,000 and you owe $150,000, they're willing to do loan modifications, do all kinds of stuff to lock you in, principal-only payments, whatever they can do to lock you at that full price. If you have a property worth $300,000 that you owe $100,000, they're going to foreclose on you. They're going to capture that equity. If you see the writing on the wall, you know that the way Obama's printing money right now, okay, we're going to see skyrocketing inflation.
A trillion is going in this week.
I mean, it's just huge. And so that's going to call super inflation. And what you do to slow down inflation is you raise interest rates. That's what the Fed does. They print money, raise interest rate to regulate the economy, supposedly. And so they know we're giving them money at almost 0%. And they know in 3 to 4 years, they're going to be able to sell that at 18, 19% to the consumers. So they are sitting really, really good, okay? But it's really screwing a lot of individuals. But if you've got a good school and it's cash flowing, this is the time. Our price points right now, if we're buying cash, using our cash and credit, 50 cents on the dollar. So if you've got a shopping center worth $1 million, cash price is $500,000 today. Okay? Now, you're not using a realtor. This is going out and finding a seller and working directly with him. Understand, I went through all these schools and certifications on appraisals and evaluations, and nobody has a friggin' clue what real estate's worth right now.
Yeah,
nobody knows.
We just ran into that. We just tried to buy a building, and I mean, it's fallen down around itself. We had a structural engineer come in and look at it, and it needed almost $200,000 worth of work just to make it safe before we could even turn it into a karate school.
Right.
And they want $395,000 for it, and they told me we won't budge.
Yeah, there is no value.
Well, then you just say $150,000.
That's what we did. Yeah. That's what we did, and they wouldn't budge. And
next,
I'll talk to you in 6 months. You know,
right, exactly.
When it's still sitting there rotten.
The people in residential right now, we're finding all these sellers that want to sell, and all these buyers that want to buy, but can't get a loan. And unless you're doing owner financing, deals are not getting done. The only ones that are buying right now are investors, and they're coming in cheap. Now we're paying 85 cents on a dollar for owner carry. All right, I'm getting free and clear properties. And I'll say, it's 50 cents on a dollar, that's what we're buying stuff for. However, I can pay you full price with the right terms. What do you want? You know, so there's always price and terms. And if they say, I want all cash today, I get to set the price. If they say, I want full price, I get to set the terms. And knowing the economy the way it's going, I'm willing to pay full price if there's nothing down, no payments for 7 years. I will pay full price today. And those are some really good deals we're locking up.
Wait, say that again. Zero down, no payments for 7 years.
Right.
So they're going to carry.
They're going to carry. And you ask them, what do you want? And they say, I want full price. Well, I can do that. You know? But it's like, I'll give you a balloon payment in 7 years. You know? Because I think it's going to drop another 12, 18 months, and then it'll start coming up. So we're going to be 5 or 6 years before it's back to where it's at now. Now, hopefully we're not at that point, but that's my negotiation point.
Yeah.
And I'll say in 7 years, I can probably pay you full price. And there's, you know, again, just like you, where you're willing to walk, a lot of them will say, well, I won't do that. And there's some negotiation in between there where I'll say, well, what is it you need? And usually I'm looking for three variables: cash down, how much do they need, not what they want. Because everybody wants all cash today, but that ain't going to happen. But if they need $10,000 to move to California, I can work around that. Any cash I have to put down, you multiply it times two and you take that off the price. Okay, so it's 50 cents on a dollar for any cash you come out. And then we try to get principal-only payments on any payments we make. So if he says, I need $10,000 and I'd like to have $1,000 a month, then we go, I'll give you $10,000 down. Of course, that takes $20,000 off the purchase price. I'll pay you $1,000 a month. That's principal-only payments. And in 7 years, I'll balloon the rest. Okay, so now you've dropped that price way, way down. Okay, and we're getting houses where it's worth $150,000. I'm setting it up so I'll make $300 or $400 a month cash flow off of it, and I'll balloon in 7 years. My payoff will be $25,000. By that time, hopefully, it'll be worth $200,000. So we're setting up good chunks of money down the road. But right now, people are walking away from equity like crazy. All right, and if you can afford the cash flow, if you can figure out a way to put a tenant in there or owner finance that, you can make a lot of money.
Well, but I mean, even looking at it from my perspective, I mean, if we did something like that, I'm making $4,800 a month in my rent back. We'll put that money in something that's going to yield interest. By the time your payment's due, you're making money on the property.
And if you could structure it so you're paying him $2,500 a month, principal-only payments, with a balloon in 7 to 10 years, I mean, you've ate up that principal way down, and you know, hopefully the banks will actually be, you know, savvy a few years from now, and you'll owe like 10 cents on the dollar at that time. You know,
refinance it, have a bunch of equity sitting there.
Poor cash. See, I've had a lot of successes, and what really works is what I have free and clear is doing great. You know, the friends of mine that have apartment buildings and they're free and clear, they're just cash cows. Ones where I set up, so if I ever needed money, I just refinance, take cash out. That model worked up until about eight months ago, and also the bank said, no, we're not refinancing, we're not giving loans out. Those don't work right now. So a lot of people, that's the only strategy they knew, they're having to sell, and they're selling at 50 cents on a dollar just to walk away from that payment. They're going to lose everything if they don't. So, you know, you have to look right now, you want the perfect building. It may not be perfect to get that price point. You know, you find a shopping center, it's 50% vacant, you know, the guy's hurting. You know, you can put a school in there and pay the payments like that. You know, you're just waiting for them because he needs to get away from that loan payment. He is struggling.
And you're finding these people, right?
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
Well,
but I'm not sure if anybody... Well, guess that part, but maybe
you guys teach direct response market, postcard sales letters and all that for students, right? You know, your target group, parents 4 to 14 that make 50,000 plus rooftops. I go after people that standalone buildings, preferably. I don't want to get into competing with the real estate investment trust. Those are the guys that buy at the $10, $20 million. You know, I don't want to play in their field because they'll eat my lunch. So I go after the mom-and-pop operations that bought a business and did some stuff. They've eat up all their appreciation, you know, so they've got a CPA saying, you need to get rid of this damn thing. It's not doing us any good. Or they've gone through a bankruptcy or they're going through a divorce and they just need to sell. They may have a little strip center. They may have a standalone building. And so what I do is I identify those owners. They're not company-owned, corporation-owned. They're not real estate investment trust-owned. And I just keep sending them postcards and sales letters. And you want to be there on their table the day that they have that fight and say, I'm out of here, let's get divorced. And you say, I buy shopping centers for cash. You know, I mean, that's the message, basically. So they're out there, and they're, you know, finding deals is not a problem right now. Financing and structuring the notes, that's where you have to be creative. You have to start really finding what their motivation, what is their hot buttons, and then work around it so it's a good deal for you.
And I'm assuming if I wanted to hire you to do this, I could.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
We need to talk then.
Yeah.
This is the time for me to get a building. I mean,
absolutely. It's the time for everybody to buy a building. Two or three of them.
Anybody wants to be there,
If you've got good cash flow, because most people are sucking eggs. So if your school is doing well because you know how to market, You need to leverage that shit. And you can buy real estate at 50 cents on a dollar. Real estate does, every 7 to 8 years, it goes up and goes down. Usually two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward. We're down at the bottom. If you're as dumb as a rock and you buy today, in 7 years, everybody will think you're brilliant because you made all this money. If you bought 18 months ago and you're selling today, you're losing money. I don't care how brilliant you are. If you're Donald Trump, you're losing money. You know? So if you can figure out how to buy, and what we do is we buy inside land trusts, we buy inside LLCs, so we have no personal liability in case it goes really bad. If the Chinese quit buying our debt, it could get worse, right?
Do you see what they're doing in California?
What?
They're promising them, they're giving them some eminent domain rights over real estate in California, and they're selling them the deeds to the property.
The Chinese?
The Chinese, so that they'll continue to buy the T-notes. It's actually kind of smart.
It is smart.
Just gotta be careful, you know.
See, I just gave a building back. I had I bought a building down in Texas, and probably paid too much for it. But I bought it inside a trust where I'm not liable at all. You know, I signed as trustee. So would I buy this building here as a trustee of a trust where I have no liability? Yeah, I don't care. You know, I buy the building. And I said, what do you want? $2 million. Okay, great. And then I start doing my due diligence, find it's not worth $2 million. So anyway, I just gave it back to him. But when you're forming a trust and you're signed as a trustee and not personally liable, I'm not getting a loan from the bank or whatever, you can lock as much stuff up as you can. If it doesn't work out, you go, never mind. There's no liability whatsoever. So, and that's, right now, if you start making a lot of money, there's probably people in your neighborhood that would like to take it from you. And so we do everything below the zone. We keep our name off public records. We don't show up anywhere. But somebody, somewhere, you're going to have a pissed off student who's going to try to sue you and take your money. And if they know you got all that real estate, they're going to come after it.
But Ping Li in China is tough to find.
Yeah.
Hard to serve.
It's tough to find. Yeah, I just, you know, I like everybody's Ping Li. I don't know which one to give it to.
Yeah, we have, our paperwork. 7,000 of them. Our paperwork, we can reassign the trustee in 7 days written notice. So I get word there's a lawsuit coming, then I'm gonna make my trustee Gu Ping and on top of the mountain in China, you know. So they have to serve him in person in order to get that lawsuit to go through. You know, by that time I've already moved the property out of that trust and it's a vacant trust. So, you know, people are so slick about how to sue people to take money. You know, we just got to be smart. You know, we got to have everything going.
It's amazing.
What's working right now is lease options, buying stuff, and fixing and flipping ugly houses, fixing them up and selling, making $20,000 or $30,000, not doing any of it, outsourcing everything, you know. And everybody's
selling them on the finance zone, right?
I can cash them right now. I'm down on South Padre Island, and in Brownsville, I'm buying houses. I bought one last week for $15,000, put $8,000 into it, sold it for $39,000. And I did that in 20 days. You know, you do one of those a month, it'll at least pay your beer bill.
Yeah, right.
$16,000 worth of beer is a lot.
You know, right there on the border, there's so many guys, they do not like the banks. They don't like anybody knowing what they got. I don't know where the money comes from, and quite frankly, I don't give a shit. You know, when they give me $30,000, $39,000 cash, unmarked bills, I'm okay with it. You know? So, we got the Border Patrol and the DEA and all those guys, they make $60,000, $70,000 a year, and we got the other guys that they're watching, they're all buying, you know.
Yeah. So. What end of the market's moving fastest?
There's a, you know, down on the border, I don't know if you've been down there for a while, but they have express kidnappings now. And so what they'll do is they find wealthy people and they'll grab a daughter or a wife or
a kid.
They
come across the border now.
They come across the border and take them back. And they say, send me $200 and I'll give them back to you. I mean, we're not talking $10,000, $20,000. We're talking $200. But they're coming across and every day they're doing it, you know. And
they started it in Mexico. Mexico City and all those things.
But now they're coming across because a lot of the wealthy Mexicans were moving over on this side. So they've been coming over and getting them here. So... when I say I'll sell you property inside a land trust, nobody will know you own that. They're like, cool, you know. Right. The wealthy Mexicans are all about that, and that's what we do to protect ourselves. You know. So, you guys have any questions at all about who owns their own buildings?
Okay. Cool guys do, yeah.
We've been looking. I mean, yeah.
So you should feel bad because your value has gone down in the last 18 months.
Right.
So that means you should dollar cost average and buy a couple more right now.
what areas of the country are, you know, best, worst?
You know, it's not so much areas because every city has pockets.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple blocks here, a couple blocks there. And you're looking for that motivated seller. You look at that guy going through a divorce or he's lost his job and he just needs to unload and he's willing to take, you know, at least 50 cents on a dollar or better.
Yeah.
And so they're all over.
Can I ask your opinion? I have a great rent of an $8 foot rent. I know you. Unfortunately, my town is $8 a foot. So, that's the high end of the city. Yeah. You know, so right next door to me, there's a building, which was great. It's, you know, 6,000 square foot footprint with a 2,000 square foot deck loft. And the guy only wants to lease it. Like, I tried to get him to talk sale. You know. But in the debate, you know, the lease price isn't bad. It's $10.
Is it empty?
Yeah, it's empty. But I think it'll sell, you know. So here was part of the debate I was kind of winning. I was like, okay, well, my rent would go up, certainly, and I don't really need the extra space. On the other hand, I might be able to try, and once I'm in, then I can keep hammering on the guy to sell it to me.
I would not move in and pay extra rent unless you had the option to buy. Okay. And we, you know, again, I have a crystal ball that's just as fuzzy as everybody else, but if this thing doesn't turn and this market start going up in the next 3 years, you know, something's crazy. So if you lock in a fair price today for like a 3 or 4 year option to buy, then you should have a couple hundred thousand, $300,000 equity in that thing should you decide to buy it 3 years from now.
What kind of lease did he want you to sign?
Just a 5 year, but he wouldn't put an option.
Yeah, of course not, because in 5 years he's going to double it.
Yeah, it'll double it, triple and die.
When
the market recovers,
you'd like to pay him, you know, market price from 2 years ago, you know, if he would sell. But it's just not, he doesn't want to sell. I think it's kind of irrational, you know, family-owned building.
Does he have any debt? Does he have a mortgage on it?
I don't know. Like, the only thing I couldn't even find the guy. I ended up having to talk to his agent, which he didn't want to do.
Yeah.
But,
good land records. You can see what he paid for it.
I did. The price was up and down. And it seems like the most recent sale, two of the recent sales were like transfers from one of his entities to another because they were around, one was like 300 and then like 6 months later sold like 600, you know,
A savvy negotiator, they know ahead of time what their hot buttons are. And so say he's 85 years old and he's just tired of property management, you would go in there and say, hey, listen, let's do this in a trust and I'll make your grandkids heirs and split this four ways. And you can go in there and make this go, wow, I never thought about that, you know. And so you have to figure out what their hot button is, you know.
Just do the burglar alarm sale thing. Hire some vagrants to go put beer bottles on their front lawn every weekend.
I train vagrants.
How long has it been vacant?
Since September.
Were you at New York?
I'm in Connecticut.
Connecticut.
So here's the other question. Standalone building on the road versus being in a plaza with a Gold's Gym and a McDonald's. It's right adjacent. What's the marketing value of being in the plaza versus being roadside, you know, freestanding?
You get more traffic flow in a strip center if you got other people there. But if you're a good marketer, you're going to drive traffic to you anyway based on what you do and not depend on that. So I think the value of being in a strip center is great. You have leverage of having more tenants in there that help pay your monthly bill. I mean,
you have built-in marketing, so
you can
cut down your marketing costs because you're going to get more traffic.
Now, my plaza's for sale for $4 million, which everybody says is nuts.
How many units are in it?
Here's the way I figure out gross rents on apartment buildings or shopping centers. Figure out what your monthly net would be, your mortgage payment, and if it's 50% of gross rents, then it's a deal. If it's anything above that, you got to play with it. So if you're looking at what your payment would be, and if the rent's not double that, then you got to negotiate with it.
Yeah. Well, the sale fell through.
Will they let you see?
The asking price was $4 million, and it was 3.2, and it fell through. It actually fell through because the guy who owns the car wash at the front of the plaza has some kind of, he has to approve it, and he just never returned him his phone call. So
that's the play right there, is get to know that guy and pull him on your side.
Can you find out how much the other tenants are paying for rent?
Yeah, I mean, they're all kind of paying in the same $8 to $10 a foot range.
Well, you just asked the right question. Where do you get $4 million?
I'm sorry, say again?
You just asked the right question. Yeah, where do you get $4 million?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the thing is, you don't need the money. Yeah. If the price is right, the money will find you, okay? But if he wants full price, you can do that, but your terms, all right? You could probably go to your student base and find 10 people that put up $50,000 to buy that strip center, all right? And that would be your down payment. Give them 25-30% equity in the strip center, so you use none of your money. And you would have to use the tenants to pay the monthly mortgage. Try to set it up so your rent's free. You're moving into, I don't know the state laws in Connecticut. In Texas, you can go up to 10 people in an LLC and there's no securities. Nationwide, if you go under 31 people, you're usually pretty safe, but you gotta pay an attorney, a good securities attorney, to do that. But what I do is, as general partner, I go in and I say, I'll manage the property, I'll find the property, you put up the money, we'll split it 50-50. And so I let people put up money all day long, and I'll go buy it and manage it, and I take half. So you could easily do that. Let some of your students put up the money, you know, that have high-tech jobs, make all cash, and they're losing money in the stock market. You say, hey, let's play real estate because this is going to go up.
Yeah, and that's what we...
They're only getting 1 or 2% at the bank.
That's what we had done. We went ahead. I had a mother who's a big wig with an accounting firm, and she's got plenty of money left over for uselessness, and she's lost her shirt in the stock market.
Yeah.
And when we were looking to buy the building and we were negotiating, she basically came... I didn't even ask. She had heard we were looking at a building, and she says, are you looking for an investor? And I says, well, what are you talking? She says, well, you're going to need a down payment. She says, and, you know, I can't imagine that you have it all without using home equity, which, you know, I try to avoid at all possibilities, using my house as a way to buy my business. She says, you know, I can give you up to $60,000 to put down on the business anywhere in between there. I think we told her we'd give her 10%. And she was like, I told her 10% over, I got your newsletter you sent me with 10% over 5 years or whatever it was, and she's like, are you kidding me? That's tremendous.
Yeah,
she says, great.
I'm in.
You know, and it cost me in the long run what? I think it was, you know, because we only were going to end up needing like $30,000. It was like, you know, $3,000 or something.
Right,
I mean, it's a no-brainer.
You think about that. If you get people investing with you that, putting up money, private money for 10%, you can back it by a deed on real estate, which you're in the mortgage business then.
Right.
But imagine if you had an extra $100,000 for marketing for your schools. I mean, you go do a couple houses, get an extra $20,000 or $30,000, and you put those students in there and sign a black belt, pay some back, you could easily pay them 10%.
Yep.
You know, but it's got to be backed by real estate. People feel more secure than just investing in private school. If it's real estate, they're like,
yeah,
that's cool.
You know, the building we're looking at, so I want to get your take on this, because I'll be honest with you, I really like the location of it. They're not going to sell it. The location where it is useless for anything other than, I hate to say it, but a karate school or a dance school. It's off the beaten path, so it's not on a main road, but it is 2 blocks from an elementary school. So for me, it's perfect. The people that own it are, you know, mid to late 60s. They own ski shops. That's what they still own. And they moved their ski shop out of there into a strip mall to make more money because the ski shop wasn't making any money in this location because it's not good for that.
Right.
The building's been vacant almost 2 years, and they don't want to budge.
On price?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they bought it for next to nothing. We did all this homework, you know, and they don't owe anything on it. So, in their opinion,
again,
you know.
Price is never an issue. You know, most people, because they deal with realtors, and realtors strictly only know one model, and that is, we got to close next week so I get my 6%. For us, it's like, I don't care if I make anything now. In 5 years, I make $100 million. I'm okay with it, you know?
Right.
And so if they say, we want full price, you just got to start negotiating terms, you know? Well, how much do you need right now? What kind of monthly cash flow? And if you can get some cash, minimum cash to them, they will owner finance the whole thing, and you get them 4% interest. I mean, what do they get with their money? If you gave them all the cash and they give it to the bank, what would they make? 1 or 2% CDs? You know, so I'll pay you 4%. I'll pay double. Well, you can't go to the bank and get money at 4%. You know, and if you said, well, how about if I just pay interest-only payments, and that way, when I sign up a bunch of these black belt clubs, I can just pay off the principal, and no prepayment penalty. you know, that's good for you. I mean, if you go flip a house or whatever, put 30 grand on the principal. I mean, so there's ways to come up with ideas where they still get full price because they don't want to budge on that. But some of the terms we come up with, they've never thought of, you know, and say, oh, how about if we do it this way and I do it inside this way or that way, you know. I would like to see more of this group set up your 401k Roth and start doing some options inside your Roth. So if you go pay an option to buy a property and you take $500 out of your Roth to get that option, and then you buy it, trigger it, and you sell it and make $100,000, it goes back into your Roth tax-free for life. Hmm. You need to do more of that stuff with Obama in office because he's going to tax the shit out of everything he can.
Right.
So you got to figure out ways to make money.
So because you used your Roth IRA to buy it, whatever.
You didn't buy it, you just have the option to. So you can just take $500 out of your Roth as an option. You know, I mean, we buy and sell stuff like that. So, say he's got a property, it's worth $200, he needs to sell it, he'll sell it today for $100. I don't have $100 in my Roth. But so I'll say, let me give you $500 out of my Roth as an option to buy. Okay, so now I have the option to buy it. I turn around and sell it to Toby for $50,000 below what it's worth. I make $50,000, that goes back into my Roth because the options were considered, they tied it up. And so if you're going
to. So basically, you're holding on to the property, selling it to somebody else, paying him, keeping your profit, giving it to him, and you're done.
Right. Okay. If you flip it, you can put all the money. Or if you set it up, if I buy from him at 4%, because a retirement account can't go into debt. So it has to be non-recourse loan. So if I buy subject to owner finance or where I don't go to the bank and have to sign, then a Roth can buy that. And I can turn around and sell it. I buy it at 4%, sell it at 8%, and I make $1,000 a month cash flow. That goes back into your Roth. Okay. And that's a great way to build your tax-free accounts because it could be 4 years. I'm hoping it may be 8 years that we have to deal with this stuff, and it's going to take a while for it to slow down if we get a Republican in office. You know, I mean, there's been so many changes in the last 60 days. It's frightening. For them to come out this week about those bonuses and say, I don't care what contracts under the law, we're gonna put the IRS on you and tax you out of existence.
Yeah, exactly. What is that?
You know? Communism, I mean, what is this? You know? Now I understand the feeling of the people, wait a minute, we're giving tax money and they're doing all this stuff, but the underlying thing of, wait a minute, we have a contract.
Right.
That's been the basis of our country.
We just set it aside.
Law. Yeah. You know, all of a sudden we're going, well, we don't care what the courts say. We're going to do our own thing. Oh, my God. You know? You've got the military, the IRS, and the president deciding the fate of everybody. That's kind of dangerous, I think.
Terry, your services are a good fit for trying to help me do this plausibly.
Yeah, I'll help you guys. I mean, my commitment to Steve Aller and APNA. Now, the regular people out there, I'm going to probably, you know, do some coaching programs, do some other stuff, and a charge fee. If I have a brokerage in the state, then he'll do a commission or something, or we'll do flat. That's the biggest thing most people don't understand. If you have a real estate agent, they get paid by listing property. So the seller pays them 6, 8, 10%, whatever it is. And then you go talk to an agent, and they say, yeah, let's go find you something. Well, he's a sub-agent. He's working for the seller, too, even though he's acting like he's working for you. Unless you have a buyer broker that's working directly for you, it's real tough to get a fair shake.
My landlord is like...
Well, they both get paid more if you pay more.
Yeah, well, and the agent we were using, everything out of her mouth was, well, you know, I think their price is pretty fair. And I'm like, what? Property's not worth that? Yeah, are you out of your mind?
I can talk directly to my landlord. He's the owner of the plaza along with his, you know, two cousins and his brother or something.
You're
going to
need my car?
And he's sort of old school Italian, old-fashioned business coach. So
okay.
The car will be open.
Because I got the motorcycle, so I can't drive the car.
If you would sit down and say, hey, can we have dinner? Let's go have a beer. You know, whatever. And sit down and say, I want to buy, and I want to make it right for you. I just should cut out all the middlemen. Let's just hire an attorney to just pay more. Let's you and I come to terms, and if we can come to something that's a win for you and a win for me, and we cut out a middleman, which makes more money for you and it saves me some money, then I'm okay with it. And I think he would go, pull up a chair, let's talk.
Yeah, I think he would.
You know, and he never gives something unless you get something back. I mean, it's just a long process. Know ahead of time your three goals. One, if I got this, that would be awesome. I'd be doing backflips. If I got this, that's okay. If we got to this point, I'd walk. I cannot do that. You have to know all three of those.
I need to be coached on what those things are. Yeah. Because, I mean, this is like I bought a car.
Really, the deal is that you guys have access to Tyrion in a way that no one else in this universe is going to. So, you know.
And Steve, you see, Steve taught me way back. I was teaching at the Air Force Academy. I was dirt broke. And, you know, I was working full-time as a post office letter carrier and coming home in the evening and teaching at the Air Force Academy for free. In fact, I was paying to do that. And I decided, because I'd had a chain of schools in Ohio, and when I left, I sold them to the guy, and they went broke within 6 months. And I had all these students I trained that had no place, and I was like, shit, I don't want to do that again. And so I got close to my wife was retiring from the Air Force, and I said, okay, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to open it up. I'm going to do it right. And I picked out Steve, and he showed me what to do. I mean, I walked into his schools. He said, go through anything you want. Went through his drawers and desks, and here's copies of this, and show me how you do an intro. And so, you know, it was kind of coincidence because I opened my first school the week that the first Ninja Turtle movie signed up.
Yeah,
and Steve said, what we're doing is we're giving out free guest pass. You know, and I go, okay, how do you do that? You know, so I locked in every school, pissed Garland Johnson off with Universal Bad because he's trying to get one of them. I said, sorry, I already locked him up. But everybody that bought a ticket got a free week of karate. All right. And I was talking to Jim Mather, who had a consulting company, and I was saying, well, tell me how you do your closings after these intros. And he was like, well, you know, you just take them in the office and you do this. And I'm like, I don't understand. I don't see how the time works because I had a brand new school. I didn't have any classes other than I had a 4 o'clock intro with 20 students, a 4:30 intro with 20 students, a 5 o'clock intro with 20 students. And it's like, I don't know how I'm going to close these. And, you know, everybody's like, I don't know. We've never had that problem before. You know? I had like 150 people going through intros that week. I'm like, wow. You know, so he got to the point. I mean, I churned and burned a lot of people there because if they didn't have cash and they were waving at it, they didn't get talked to. I mean, it was that bad. But we signed 180 people up in 90 days, made, you know, I don't know what it was, $500,000 the first year off of that group, you know. But so Steve, you know, he made me my first million, and so that's what he's doing NAPMA now. Anything I can do to help the guys, that's what I'm going to do. You know, most of the guys doing real estate, the guys that are selling books and tape are doing well, making a lot of money. The guys that are actually doing real estate are eating it bad. You know, it's basically if they bought it 18 months ago, they've lost value. And if you sell now, you're going to lose it. And if you can't make your payments, you don't have cash flow, you're going to lose it. I mean, That's the facts of life. But the guys, if you guys got good schools and you got good cash flow, you should be locking down real estate. You should be buying more. You should be getting some of your students to open some schools for you and say, I don't care, just pay your mortgage on time. You know? I don't wanna do a franchise. Well, I shouldn't say that with you guys. I don't do a franchise license agreement, I don't care. Just pay your mortgage. Because if you can get 4 or 5 schools locked down right now.
Well, which you know, I mean,
we're doing that with my life.
But. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I mean, truth be told, it's the real, I don't say the real, one of the, it's the Parthenon, right? It's the marketing Parthenon with our regional developers, just the same way it is with a martial arts school, right? You have all these marketing pillars that bring new students into the school. Well, for the regional developers, we've built the revenue Parthenon. And one of the streams of revenue is franchise royalties. One of the streams of revenue is purchasing franchise licenses. One of the streams is the successful kids thing. One of the streams, you know, it's all these streams of revenue that a regional developer earns by being a support structure for the individual franchises. And one of the biggest, what we all believe is going to be the long-term exit strategy for regional developers is acquiring the real estate that the individual franchisees exist in. So now you've got, you know, four right. or five schools, 10 schools in the region. You own 5 pieces of real estate that all have a cash-producing entity on top of it. Now you're in the McDonald's business.
The real value, I think, of a karate school is I look back at my 35 years of running the school. My students love me. The parents love me. They respect me. If I said it's raining outside, they would grab the raincoat. You know, it doesn't matter. And so if you're actually doing good things for them and trying to do the right thing for them, right now in this economy where they're losing money, if you could show them a way to put money in real estate and make money, that would be a good added value to your parents of your kids. And so one of the things we do is a limited partnership. So if you're a master franchise, for example, and this is what we've worked with, is we will teach you how to do a limited partnership. We will teach the students under you, the school owners under you, how to do a limited partnership. And the splits that I suggested, and I'm not sure how you finally came up with it, but if the say you give 50% to the parents that put up the money. There's another 50% ownership. You give 25%, say, to the school owner. So he owns 25% of the building that they're in, or the strip center, and he puts no money. All he does is teach classes. And then 25% goes to the master, or you split that with the franchisor. So there's a lot of money to be made. Just think if you help 20 franchisees buy a shopping center over the next, you know, 2 to 3 years, and you got 10-20% of every one of those by helping them do that.
Yeah. And I, you know, obviously, I mean, there's a universe of what's possible in people's mind more than there is in reality, right? And you know, we've got some of the guys on the team that, you know, probably will never pull the trigger on anything. We've got a lot of guys on the team that are pretty damn sharp, you know, and that really want to create something from a small business into a real business. You know what I mean? Into a business model that's sustainable beyond the martial arts school existence, but, you know, on into perpetuity. You know, they have retirement and they've got kids and they've got grandkids and, you know, that whole thing. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, that's the...
Well, see, I got really wrapped up into building the wealth. And building the equity, having millions of dollars in real estate. And I backed away. I don't teach a Christ school now. And I miss having that cash flow. You know, as I'm looking at real estate, I'm trying to sit down, what's this building worth? What's worth $1 million last year? What's it worth today? I have no clue.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it, you know, I can tell you what rent's coming in. I know what the cash flow coming in. But, you know, the only way you know something's worth something is somebody writes you a check for it.
Exactly.
You know,
it's only worth what you agree for.
And if you've had it on the MLS trying to sell it for 6 months at a certain price, it's not worth that. So if you've got somebody and they've had a property on for 2 years, it's not worth that price. Absolutely not worth that. Unless you get some killer terms.
Is there any way to convince them, but because I'm in a similar situation, actually, as both these guys. My building, the owner had a business next door to it, pulled the plug on the business about 2 years ago, but they had several buildings around the area. You know, I tried buying it from them. They wanted too much for it.
Motivation changes every day.
Yeah. You know? But, part of what changed is the father who owned all that just passed away. So I'm guessing there's some inheritance holding on to it. But it's been sitting for sale for 2 years now.
Right.
And I still can't quite get them.
Probate is a huge opportunity, okay? And the reason, it's kind of like people win the lotto, mm-hmm. and then three years later, they're broke again, because mm-hmm. it's found money. They in their mind, they never earned it, and so it has no value.
Yeah.
When somebody inherits something through a probate situation, it really doesn't have any money. So say it's worth $1 million, and you offer them five, that's $500,000 they didn't have yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you just have to structure it. You have to do your homework and find out there's four kids, and one of them wants to keep it, the other one wants to sell, the other two don't give a shit, you know, I mean... And then you figure out, draft your offer, that I will do this, and I'll split it, and I'll send each of you a check for this amount. And, you know, you have to do that homework, but it's a perfect time to work on that. You just got to find out what that motivation is. And, I mean, if you're sitting down to sign someone up for Black Belt Club, the hot buttons you go through, and you lead them down the pain and the reward if they make the right decision, you've got to do that same thing. You just have to do some due diligence. You have to find the homework. What is keeping them awake at night? You know, what, you know, and there's one that, like, needs their money. The other three are like, they don't care. You need to work on that one to help them convince the other three they need to sell. You know, so. But on yours, the same thing. You know, you've got to, you know, if you're talking to somebody who's not motivated to sell, it's like spitting in the wind. I mean, you just keep dropping a hint. But
my plaza owner is really motivated to sell it. His family's complaining, and he actually he owns a supermarket in the plaza. So he's there for a little while, but he wants to retire. You know, and everyone wants to kind of retire. That's kind of the deal. And they're all wanting to get out fast.
Could you hire people to manage that shopping center or that food store?
Actually, they already have a management company in place. So I could just take over the agreement.
Could you, with your marketing skills, bump the response and increase the cash flow over there? I mean, it's a totally different world, but, you know,
Dan
Kennedy says, we're all in the same bit. It's marketing sales, you know, so.
You know, what I can say is that I know that the rents are all too low and very few people have a lease.
Okay.
So I can.
So you could fix that real quick. You could raise rents and put them on a lease, yeah. So you could add value to that building. If he is
Gold
motivated,
Gym has a lease. No one else has a lease.
Huh?
Gold Gym has a lease. No one else has a lease.
Right. sounds like he's ready to retire and he doesn't like to manage it, and I think that's a hot button. If you say, you figure out what he's making right now. He's making $3,000 a month rent after bills and stuff. So, okay. And you just go in there and say, hey, won't you let me buy this? I'll just pay you $3,000 a month, and you don't have to worry about anything anymore. And he may go, really? Yeah, retire. Go down on the beach. It's time, you know. And I'll take over all the headaches of management and all that stuff, and I'll give you $10,000 down to go to Miami and pay $3,000 a month principal payments and so in 10 years.
I would pee my pants in fear to even start this negotiation.
Well, it's the same thing. The first time you ask somebody to write you a check for $5,000 for Black Belt Club or $3,000 or whatever, you're like, I can't believe they're saying yes to this shit. When you sit there and you say, I know you think it's worth $2 million or $4 million, but in reality, in this market, it's only worth $2 million. I'm willing to pay you $2.5 million, but it's got to be good terms. And then they go, no, I won't do $2.5 million. We might do 2.8. Well, let's happy medium. Let's do 2.7. Would that be fair? You know, I mean, same thing that you do everywhere else. And we can help you negotiate. That's not a problem.
Okay.
But, you know, it's the first time that you put your signature on $10,000 or somebody writes you a check for $10,000. What's your highest you've ever got for karate?
Not very high because Connecticut doesn't run, but I don't know.
So can you sell a booklet of 10,000? Somebody was on martial arts business, and they're going to 60 coupon booklets. I'm going, oh, God, I can't believe they're doing that shit. They're trying to follow the fitness industry. But
7,000.
But, I mean, the first time you saw it, 7,000, you're going, damn, all right? First time you get a check for 100,000, it's the same thing. You know, and once you start in there and you start dealing with, I remember my first time when I put a contract in for $1 million property, and I hollered my wife, she's upstairs, hey, I'm getting ready to write this contract for $1 million. And she's like, okay. You know, it's just more zeros. Yeah, that's all it is. So if the numbers are there, it's okay. And especially the way we do it, because we would do a trust, and you would be the trustee. So you're going to sign this note that the trust is liable for this $1 million, and you as a trustee authorizing that. If something happened, they're never going to come after you because you're not personally signing that shit. We don't. You know, it's amazing on houses the banks get and make you jump through hoops and you have to give your next of kin. But when you're doing shopping centers, non-recourse is pretty standard. You know, they do the loan based on the value of the building. So to buy a $20 million office building, you're not signing with your credit, you know. And so we do that. We form an LLC and you're the manager or you're a corporation, you're the president or you're the trustee of a trust. We never personally sign liable for that shit.
You guys can do business in Canada.
You can do business anywhere. Yeah, but I can't. Yeah, as an investor, we can do anywhere. If I'm acting as a real estate agent, then I have to do it within that state. I'm now getting my license in Texas because I'm leaving a lot of friggin' money on the table right now. I said, okay, I'll go ahead and take the test to get that. But usually in a commercial, it's a whole different world. You know, all the rules and regulations of residential because they're taking care of the poor people. Commercial, it goes out the window. Because, hey, you're in the $20 million loan, you're on your own, you know, we don't have a lot of that due diligence crap. It's like, you signed the check, you owe it, you know, that kind of stuff. So, it's pretty much fair play, you know, in commercial. It's a different world. I like it, because it's like, you're in black belt ring, you know, you get kicked in the face, it's your fault if you didn't have your hand up, you know.
Let me ask you, you say that you're in Texas a lot. Is that where you live now?
I'm in Colorado Springs, but I'm spending a lot of time in Texas just because we found a sweet spot down there in Cameron County, Hidalgo County, that the prices are just going crazy and we're making a buku money. So
I'm in San Antonio.
Okay. You're a couple hours away. San Antonio's going crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, the real estate market's huge up there. I got a lot of doctors and stuff. They got a lot of money. They want me to come up to San Antonio and work with them. And I'm, you know, there's something about being on South Padre, you know, and I do business in my flip-flops and shorts. And,
right.
And I buy a, you know, $700,000 condo in 5 minutes and go have a Corona on the beach. And,
there you go.
You know, I want you to know.
Some appealing about it.
I respect you guys a lot, or I would not have left Padre Island, spring break, 1,000 girls in bikinis to be here with you guys. So.
Thanks, Terry.
But, you know, what I found is
you could have done this by conference call.
Yeah, no.
We could have held this conference down there.
That's what I'm saying.
And we are on May 8th. I'm having a day of training down there that you guys are welcome to come to. But it's going to be at the Isle Grande, and the idea is to go learn a whole day and then spend 2 days sitting on the beach with a notepad figuring out how you're going to change your life. So, but when I'm here in Colorado, I live in a really nice house, overlooks the city. 2,000 acres, I got deer and elk playing in the front yard, you know, it's just great. But after a week or two of sub-zero weather, it's like, this gets old. And so when you tell people here in Colorado you got a house on the beach, they're like, wow. When you're down there on the beach, you say, yeah, I got a house in the mountains of Colorado, they're like, wow. So
yeah.
Why not be spoiled and do both, you know? So I'm a real estate investor, so I buy stuff wholesale, so it's okay. It's just like you buying karate gis. You probably got a whole bunch of them because you get them below wholesale, right? So that's what I do in real estate.
So you're saying that basically what you do is you form a trust, and the deal really works off just the value of the property. It's not...
Well, the value of the property is perception, you know.
Right.
I had dinner with George Ross. You know who George Ross is? He's a... Donald Trump's a negotiator. I'm sitting here. One thing I got from him, he said he'd been married like 40 years, and when they first got married, him and his wife decided that he would handle all the major decisions and she would handle all the minor decisions. And if 40 years have been married, there had yet to be a major decision to be worried about. So that's one thing I got. But, you know, when you're talking about price, what's a fair price? It depends. Am I buying or selling? You know, so... in every deal, that's what I'm looking at. If I'm buying, a fair price is 15 to 20% below market if we got great terms. And probably in the 5 or 6% or below interest rate. That's fair. When I'm selling, full price, and we're talking 8, 9% to start. Okay, so depends on am I buying or selling, those numbers change. And you have to have that spread. Are you kicking us out?
No, man.
Okay. So, right now, principal-only payments, if you can get them, no interest. Zero interest is king.
You got a card on you, Terry?
You know I don't. But I
happen tomorrow?
Hook me out later. You can call 1-800-ANY-OFFER. Just press 007. 007 is my private number, so you can leave me a message. I'll call you back.
Any offer?
269-6333. 1-800-269-6333.
I've seen, like right across the street from where I am, there's a small strip center.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure how many units in it. 7, 8, maybe 10. And out of all the years that it's been there, this is the least amount it's ever been filled. At least half of the units are empty.
Right, and you're seeing that nationwide. And
yeah.
So if you want to buy a place like that, mm-hmm. how do you... I mean, obviously you have to fill the places.
Right.
So you're taking a risk with your cash flow because you don't know how you're going to get... How long it's going to be before you fill it.
I would go in and negotiate based on what the income is today. All right? So if, say, he's got $3,000 a month rent coming in, I would negotiate, try to get it, so I'm paying him $1,500 a month. Okay, and then I bust my ass making that to go to $10,000 a month rent. Okay, here's what a lot of people do is market rents $10 a square foot. So when they start renting out, they go for $10 a square foot. And the real key is come in there at 8 and then jump it up pretty quick. And because you want to fill that sucker up fast. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is out there, they're greedy, they're trying to get everything they can. If you come in there and lowball it, you'll fill that place up. You'll always outperform. You'll always make more money than the guy that's holding out for full price. And so it's all about speed. So just like you've noticed that half of it's vacant, imagine if you came in there and rented at 50 cents or a dollar below what norm is in there per square. You fill that sucker up quick, and you'll make a hell of a lot more money. And then the activity and the synergy, it's like having a karate school and you got 2 students in class versus having 100. Difference, you know, and when you have a shopping center, same thing. You know, so start low, and then by, you know, move them up 50 cents every year or whatever till you get to market rent. By that time, they're already comfortable, and it's too much of a pain in the ass to move. So they're willing to keep jumping it up.
So now's the time, because everybody knows, damn, you know, rents are down. Actually, rents are still pretty good, but you know, prices are down. I can't sell. Fear, and you know, we should be going, this is a great time. But whenever you're talking about it, oh, that's terrible. You know, I don't know how you expect to sell this thing in this market, but I'll offer you 50 cents on that one. You know, it's got to be, you know, I got to protect my investors. But you guys have got, the hardest thing right now is getting private money. People are scared to death. And you have that relationship with your students. And especially if you're buying a school where their kids are going to get to participate in, and you say, I'm looking for 10 people that are sick and tired of losing money in the stock market that would lock a good, safe 8 to 10% return backed by commercial real estate. If you're interested, email Sensei. You know, I mean, and you will get these guys. Tell me what you're doing. Well, we won't buy, you know, while, we've been renting forever. Now the market's down. Real estate's like at the best price ever. We want to buy our own building for our school, you know, and I'm looking for 10 or 20 students that want to put up the money, and then we'll pay you good, you know, because I can get a good discount. Instead of paying the bank 6%, I'll pay you 10 because I'm going to get a really good deal, owner finance or whatever. And they're like, cool.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, we had somebody approach us. We didn't even ask. Right. So, believe me, I'm sure if I asked, there's plenty more out there.
More.
Especially with the clients I have.
And the residential, I mean, you don't have to quit your karate job to do the residential. You got to train a good broker to go find you deals and say, I buy 50 cents on the dollar. And they go, okay, and they find you the deals. And then you have your students over here that put up the money, and you pay them 10% return, and you're making $20,000, $30,000 every time you flip a deal. Your realtor gets 6% for doing all the work. That's okay. You're making you $1 million.
What's 6% when you're making that kind of money?
Yeah. So it's. I don't. How many of you guys still teach full time? Well, everybody does. You don't have a staff that does it for you?
What do you mean by teach?
I mean, well,
floor,
yeah, on the floor.
On the school.
No, I'm talking about on the floor.
I only teach my teen adult class, everything else.
Most of you have your own senior master instructors, whatever, do most of it. So that's the same thing. In real estate, as an investor, I look at it, I go, yes, no, deposit a check in my account. That's my job. And everything else, finding the deals, marketing the deals, rehabbing the deals, listing the deals, selling the deals, closing the deals, all that stuff, it's outsourced to experts. We have attorneys, we have contracts, we have all those guys that do that shit. You know, but
you have to build that up. You can't start out like that.
You have to. We pretty much do. We start right off the bat hiring people and then firing them if they don't work out. Right. You know, my philosophy for a general contractor is, if I could keep you busy, and you can make all the money you want in the world, all I want is good work and done quickly, and you'll never have to market another day in your life. What's that worth to you? And so, if you ever screw me, if you ever do something unethical, you're off the team. You know, I go to a realtor, a real estate attorney. I'll just keep stacking people to you, and I'll keep deals on that. I'll be your long-term equity because I'll do so much business with you. But I want, you know, you to have me on your Rolodex. You know, and once you get that team and they're there, great. If they ever screw up, they're gone. They lose all that income. You know. A good general contractor has good subs to get things done if they can pay on time and they keep them busy. If you don't have enough work to keep them busy, they're going to go somewhere else. All right. If you don't pay them, they're going to go somewhere else. So if you get a good general contractor and you can keep them busy doing stuff, if they're just doing one rehab every month and flipping a house, you can keep them busy. And you're their lifeblood. You know, I've got my contractor saying, if you got something else yet? No, I'm working on something. Find me a deal, you know. So that's why I start coaching in the local area, and because my students also use them. So now all of a sudden they have to hire additional crews to handle the volume of business I get.
Yeah, leverage on the time. It's perfect.
Yeah. But, you know, they know where their bread is buttered. They want to take care of us. So, you know, give me a fair price. I don't try to, you know, talk them down on their commissions or anything. I pay them fair, but I just want good work, quick. You know that stuff.
Well, quick is key too. I mean, you want to turn that thing over.
Right. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people will do that. They'll get out there and they'll start a rehab, and they do everything themselves. And 6 months or 8 months later, they made $60,000. They're like, great, you know, but I did it in 3 weeks and made 10 grand, and I didn't do any of the work myself. You know, it's like, which one's a better model? You know?
What's your preference now, residential or commercial?
It depends. As a real estate broker, I would rather get a 6% commission off a $5 million building than I would a $100,000 house. Knowing the market right now, I know that commercial may pull back the next 12 or 18 months. We've seen up to a 50% drop in price in some parts of the country over the last 18 months, and commercial usually follows. So I know right now there's a lot of need for owner finance, so residential is really hot for me. I do owner financing, so my ad says, forget the banks, owner will carry, no credit required. You know, all these guys went through foreclosure. I'm giving them the opportunity to buy a house for them and their family again.
And that's an expanding market.
It's right? Huge.
There's more of those guys every day.
About 80% of people can't get a loan right now. So my big thing down in Brownsville right now is let Obama buy you a house. What do you mean? $8,000 moves you in. At the end of the year, Obama will give you $8,000 back.
I was going to say, yeah, they've got that credit.
The first-time home buyer credit.
Yeah.
And so for them that are all rah-rah Obama fans, that works. The phone rings off the hook. I put a sign up the front that says, you know, owner finances, no credit required. Phone rings off the hook. You know, and it just, how much, you know, my question to them is, how much do you have down? How much of a down payment are you working with? And what did you want your monthly payments to be? That's my qualification for them. And that one house I just sold last week for $39,000, I had people come in with $20,000 down. They wanted me to finance. They wanted to put $20,000 down.
Under $39,000.
But they still couldn't get a mortgage, which is...
They can't get, well, they don't want a mortgage. They don't want the government to know who they're
some
at.
Of
some have a green card, some of them don't, you know.
some have a green card, some of them don't. Yeah. Down in Brownsville, I can see that.
Their money's good.
Their money's good. You know, there's a lot of the people there just, they either report their income or they don't. And the ones that don't report to the IRS, they just want to, they want to pay directly to the homeowner. You know, so if you're financing, they're paying you every month. If you're into $60,000, that's a nice house down there, $60,000-$70,000 house down there on the border, they will do everything in their world to keep that house. Now, if you sell $150,000-$200,000 house, they'll walk away from it. You know, they put $10,000 and they'll walk away. You know, but the smaller income houses, man, they put $20,000 down, they save for years to get that. They're doing everything they can to keep that house. That's the kind of people you want in there. My only limitation is I don't speak Spanish. I got to work on that. But, yeah. You know, down there, 87% of the population is Hispanic.
Right.
So I got a full-time personal assistant. Hey, talk to him. I don't have a clue what they say.
I actually speak Spanish and whenever I get it.
You get that way? Hand it off, yeah.
Not even try. Now, I can understand it to a point, but...
I understand the bad words. I understand when they...
You always learn those words.
Universal language.
Universal language. But, you know, you guys, really, we're seeing the chart show that for 18 months it's dropped, and now it's bouncing. You're seeing resistance start to come up. And housing affordability, when you combine interest rates with the price points, with what people are making, is over 50% of the population can afford a house right now. And so right now they're not buying because they're scared. But once that they start buying and they start seeing people buy and then they buy more and the prices start going up, you're going to see greed take over. We're going to see super appreciation of properties. And over the next 6-7 years, we're going to see a skyrocket. Now, will it crash again? Absolutely. Probably worse than this time. Okay? But that means you've got 7 years to kick ass and take names, pay off your facilities so that you're free and clear. You know, that's the goal. You getting your Twitter going? Or?
No, I was. I'm just. What did I become? A
book reviewer.
A book reviewer for Amazon.com. I'm a professional book reviewer. I just reviewed like 30 books.
Cool. Did you read any of those?
Yep, read them all. Oh.
There were ones you already read.
Yes.
Because I think you read them and reviewed them that quick.
No.
So that's good. So your reviews go to the top. So whenever you have something you want to sell, you just make sure they also bought and you put your reviews on there. Is that?
I don't know, I learned it about...
It also optimizes your website. You can put the website for the karate school in the review, it pushes you up to the top of the list because you're attached to Amazon.
Yeah.
I think Lloyd Irvin told me that, but it went over my head. We were in a meeting, what, 5 years ago or something, and he was teaching internet marketing, I was teaching real estate, and we sat down, and he was like, you know, all these internet guys are making all this cash flow, and they don't have anything in the bank. They have, you know, they spend everything they make. I go, well, I got all these real estate guys, they got all kinds of wealth, they can't even pay their bills every month. There ought to be something we work together, you know. I ended up teaching him real estate, he did great, but I never really pulled the trigger on all his internet stuff. I think he makes about $12 million a month off his porno sites, but he won't tell me that. So.
Who's that? Crap.
Lloyd. Lloyd. I'm just kidding. You didn't hear that from me.
Lloyd's a nut, man.
What's scary is that you could see that with, you know, the people in our world.
Well, I mean, Russell Brunson, you know Russell? Russell Brunson? No. He's a wrestler guy, but he runs .comsecrets.com. He's got good stuff for like $39, his coaching program. He sends you crap every month. It's very good. But I mean, he is like straight-laced Mormon as it can be. He'll be the first to tell you, if you want to know what's really happening in the world, check out the internet sites, because they're state-of-the-art. They're pop-unders, whatever's working there, they're like...
I've been saying that forever.
Step ahead of everybody else.
Well, when Master Oliver was working with Corey Rudel and the guy from the Bahamas, whatever his name is, that's what they were saying when he was doing all this stuff was, okay, you know, where do you want to host the servers? Because we're going to put them offshore so you can spam the U.S. and not worry about it. And that was the rest of their core business was adult sites.
Right. They're making all kinds of money. So I never went down that path, but I know a lot of guys are making a buttload of money doing that. You have a bad part, you know, if you've been a cruddy sensei and all of a sudden they go, yeah, but I make all my money over here. I went out to Lloyd's one time and he had his MMA classes. He has his kids' classes early and then his MMA classes later. I went in there and they're all tattoos and they've got rap on there with motherfucker this. I walk in, this is martial arts school. I've never seen something like this. He's, oh, no, the kids are all gone. I'm like, man, I wouldn't take a chance that a parent would walk in something like that. But they're in the back room and they're in the cage. And
I rent space late at night, like, you know, when the school's closed and I'm gone, and to a jiu-jitsu group, you know, Grace Spar jiu-jitsu.
Are they that way too?
It's the same thing. Same garbage. Then I walked in the other night and they've got the heaviest metal on you've ever heard in your life that you can't understand. The only thing you can't understand is the curse words coming out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, tattoos and piercings.
Do you guys have any of that? Is everybody in here pretty traditional and it's yes or no, sir, and all that stuff?
I can't see drifting that way. When I go in at night or stay at night to work, I can't deal with the way they treat him. It just doesn't. And he's fine with it. It doesn't work for me.
No.
It makes me crazy. I mean, they call him by his first name. They curse him, you know, when they talk to him. And
well, I saw that in Japan, the judo guys got into that way when it became Olympic sport. And it's the coaching versus the sensei, you know, and they spit and disrespect. And that comes, and a lot of people are like, they want karate to be Olympic sport. I'm going, oh, I don't know. You know, look at taekwondo, what it's done.
The guy kicking the ref in the head.
Oh, yeah. That was horrible for me. Oh, that's, I saw him do that, I went, oh.
That was the only coverage.
I emailed all my taekwondo friends real quick. Oh, cool. I like the way you guys teach discipline in taekwondo.
The only escape on that was he was Cuban.
Yeah. That killed him. He probably lost a bunch of money there. What did he get paid, like $100,000 a year or something?
I'll tell you what, I would be nervous going back to Cuba that they'd kill my ass, too. Yeah. I mean, you know, how they do just things down there.
It's ugly. Well, good. So, useful time?
Very
absolutely. Useful time. Yeah,
absolutely. Any other questions before we go?
Here's the main.
Yeah, you're talking too far above my head.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. Until I started actually looking for a building, I didn't understand any of it either. Yeah.
The key is buy low, sell high. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really
never changed.
Makes it easy, overly simplistic, but, you know, still that one. Okay, so we're done. I have one request. Let's see, it's 5 to 5. Here's the agenda for today and kind of part tomorrow and the next day. We've got here. Let me give you the onesie twosie. I'll give you one of these when we get there.
Sorry. We checking at the hotel tonight or no?
Yeah.
Well, you actually thought the feeling like.
Okay. Here's what we got.
For Quantum Leap.
Here's what we got. Ooh, look at that.
I'll play with you later on the numbers and how we can probably work with you on that.
Okay, we've got Master Oliver's house tonight, a little reception for all of you all. 7:30-ish, 8-ish. Unless you want
to... Can I get one of those?
Yeah.
You have to pay extra for it?
No, I didn't pay one yet. You can have mine.
No, that's right.
Here, have this one.
Just email me when I'm supposed to be someplace, okay? Tell me the right location.
I'm not sure if I know either. No, if I don't know shit, we're in trouble. Here's the deal. We've got three things to kind of talk. Tonight, Master Oliver's house, little reception for all of us, is, you know, all you guys, up at his house. If you don't know how to get there, all these guys do, but it's 70 out to a little suburb called Evergreen, but it's not far. It's maybe 12 miles, I think you said, 12 minutes. And it's Chief Hosa is the name of the exit. You'll go left.
Genesee.
Which is Genesee. Then you'll go right.
The first three rights. That will work better than the GPS. Amigo, left, right.
825 Neville Lane. N-E-V-I-L-L-E. And it's 80401. It's gold.
Okay.
So it's, again, if you don't do the GPS thing, it's 70 East, Chief Hosa, take a left, the first three rights. And that'll take you there. You'll see all the cars up front. Second thing is, tomorrow, Friday, check in at anywhere between 8 and 10. We're going to start the session at 10 a.m., okay? So we, you know, get rid of a little bit of time of sleeping tomorrow.
How long does that thing go for tonight? About?
A couple hours.
Okay.
8, 10, 10:30, 11, something like that. And we'll just kind of, there's enough cars going up, I think, that, in fact, if you guys can all do me a favor, I've got a big Pacifica, and we've got a couple other cars up there, but if you can all, you know, team up and just go up together, you know what I mean, not a big deal. That way we don't get lost and stuff. And we'll have plenty of cars up there, so if anybody wants to go at any time, you're welcome, and, you know, we'll find somebody with a car.
Any particular dress code for you?
No, you're fine. It's casual. Second thing is, tomorrow, Friday, the rough agenda is, you guys all know, I mean, you know, we're in the room, right? You know that one of our objectives at the event is to have traffic on franchising messages, right? So there's one thing tomorrow that you have the option to opt in or out for, is when Master Oliver's talking about multi-school development, what he's talking about is how we're rolling out regional developers, okay? You're welcome to do one of two things. Well, one of three things. Stay in the room, listen. I mean, anytime Master Albert talks, I'm in the room listening, right? It's up to you. Second option is I'm going to have Karen, Eden, Terry will be semi-available, myself, and potentially Elsa at 4:40. This is 4:40 tomorrow. You'll see it on the schedule when you get it, in a separate room for all of you guys who would rather do something different.
Why am I semi-available? You got something else?
Because I hadn't told you yet that at 4:40 we could borrow you. So I forgot about that.
What's up?
So that's a few.
Good.
The third and most secondarily important thing is I could use, Master Oliver and I could both use help. We would love to fill another peak performer group.
Would it be okay for me to have a schedule?
Yes.
You better give him yours.
Last one.
It is.
That one?
It is, actually, to tell you the truth. Okay, the second thing is we would love to open another peak performer group and expand that program even more. Master Oliver, you're calling me. Master Oliver?
Yeah?
You're calling me right now.
You're calling me?
No, you're calling me.
Oh, I'm calling you. Okay, well.
Yeah. I'll hang up.
What's the peak performer group? Black Belt Coaching Program?
These guys, but typically under, let's say, 400,000 a year. 354,000 a year. So it's group.
You let these guys run it?
Who what?
You let these guys run it?
Not so much. They're a couple separate days.
You should do that. Pay them.
Who?
These guys. For teaching the guys how to get to 400,000.
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea.
They get to be big dogs, and they get to make money teaching other people how to become big dogs.
Yeah. Well, see, now you're letting the cat out of the bag on the regional thing we're going to do in like 6 months from now. So
okay. Sorry. Stop, would you? Yeah, what did I say?
Come on. So in which case, on Saturday at 7 o'clock on Saturday, we're going to do a school evaluation for potential peak performer members. So same opportunity. We're going to have something else going on for you guys, you know, somewhere else. But I would love to ask two or three people that are that would be a good case study or a good, you know, stand in front of the microphone and you know, tell us what you think about the thing. So if we can talk tonight and let me know who that is and you know, what you'd like to do, that I would love to.
What's this criteria for these guys?
These guys mostly are inner circle, so they're 350, 400,000 or up.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it.
Wonderful.
You guys are SOL.
Can we rearrange it so that, like, if we're not in the room the whole time, we're in the room, you know, in
my favorite place
at the appropriate time?
We'll figure it out.
No.
I'm not sure which part.
Are you going to, if they're doing testimony, you're getting videos?
Yeah.
So you can use it forever?
Yeah.
Make it good, because you live on for infamy.
We'll work out a script tonight. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, it just is what it is. It is what it is. You know, what you like, what you've gained, all that sort of stuff, what the experience is like. And that's it. And then everything else is pretty much, you know.
If anybody does an Eric Savarge and says, what are you going to sell us next? Fire for Life.
I haven't seen that.
No, I
so the real key is to say
he's happy that I didn't castrate him on my premises.
Oh, that's wrong.
Yeah, public castration would have been appropriate.
So the real key would be to say something very dynamic and make sure you put your website in there. That's
right. Wear the hat with your website on the or the pink shirt.
I know your ugly one. I love that.
Other than that,
you know your ugly one. They don't put your picture in. Seriously,
you gotta get somebody with this thing. Look. You're preaching to the choir.
Have the room list for you at the front desk.
My brother's in magazines.
Wonderful. I'll set this podcast up.
And oh,
he's going to keep us. What do you need?
No, the banquet orders I sent with my bills.
You need anything from me?
Martial arts.
You good?
I would imagine.
No, but.
Oh.
You know somebody can put out a hit on the Marriott
stand. That bad?
Shoot myself in the head. Okay.
Oh, Holiday Inn.
Well, there was one last. Yeah, we need to do something different. There was one last little minor adjustment that nobody knew about, so it doesn't affect anybody anyway. But mostly, mostly Friday, we're talking mostly about sales processes, and then marketing at night.
And then I'll sell them, so we can show them the process.
Well, that's a good idea. Then Saturday, it's mostly about student service processes, and then at night marketing. Except for Sunday, we had Lorenzo Trujillo, who's the guy with Alphabet Soup behind his name. He's got like 3 master's degrees and a couple PhDs, and like he's crazy, right? But he was meant to be on Friday. He had to move. He got called to court to be an expert witness, so he's going to be on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Talking about how to reach different students that have different learning styles. You know what I mean? He's very, very good. I mean, he's like super good, right? The last thing is, you guys all got the books. Dr. Donna Thorne has volunteered to do book signing and photos. Boster Photo is actually going to buy the photos, like pay for the photo printing and send them to you.
Okay? What day is that going to be, tomorrow?
That's going to be Friday.
Friday.
It's going to be Friday at lunch. So he'll speak at like 10-ish. There'll be another speaker for an hour, and then at lunchtime, he'll do the photo signing and book signing for you. And that's another one of those things where, you know, it's kind of like standing next to Gene Simmons, right? Well, not Gene Simmons, but who's Donald Trump's guy? George Ross, right? Nobody really knows who he is, but you tell the story and he's important, right? Donna Thorne, same deal, right? You know, you put his picture on the thing, nobody knows who he is, but you tell the story and you're like, wow.
What time is that during lunch?
Tomorrow, lunch break.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the expected attendance?
There'll be about 150 people without our guys, something like that.
You got people coming in from out of the country, too?
Yes, we do. We've got...
Like
we've got
Britain?
Yes. A couple.
They were in the lobby last
we time. Got a.
Is that the guy that you punched at?
No, they were hilarious.
They were funny.
And any questions, thoughts, comments, opinions?
They get away with that accent too.
They do.
Yeah. Need to trade them for the room list.
Okay.
Okay.
I have to sign it, I guess.
Yeah, but to make sure that the setup is right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay. We went through this yesterday.
Totally. You'll let us know.
I'll go through it again. Okay, thanks, sir.
Yeah. Thank so you'll let us know some way tomorrow where those other rooms are going to be.
Yeah. We'll be right in the center.
The one with the kind of purple.
I can't think of anything else. You guys good? Anything else you guys need?
What time
you
want?
The other one.
Tonight? Yeah. Let's say 7:30-ish. Yeah,
7:30-ish.
And then we'll head up there around, you know, 10 to 8 or something like that. I, by the way, I may or may not be the one leading the troop. It'll be either me or Rob Tucker. 386, that's interesting. I might be in the other room, but you'll have either
Walter. Yeah, Walter.
Potentially not.
So it starts at 10 tomorrow.
10 in the morning. Mm-hmm. 10 in the morning, actually, voltage. Oh, the last thing, that's a good point. Thanks. So that was the other thing.
I'm supposed to do something this weekend.
What?
You can tell me when I'm supposed to like speak.
Oh, yeah, you need a schedule.
I just took one.
Oh, good. It's in there. the last thing is a good point is Saturday. Morning at 8:20, if you want to do a little workout, Mark Radin and a bunch of the instructor types.
Dave Kovar.
And Dave Kovar is going to do a segment. We'll talk about that at the opening ceremony tomorrow. Dave's going to teach for about 15, 20 minutes. And it's a little kind of like the share a drill kind of thing that we did last time, which seemed to work really well. You know, everybody can seem to like that. So if you want to work out those guys and do some stuff, you're more than welcome. Right.
Cool.
8:20 on.
I heard Master Oliver's going to be teaching you that, too.
He teaches the flexibility. You know what? Saturday. We might even need you on Saturday.
Cool.
Is that could I possibly have made it?
I think you.
Oh, no, 7 o'clock.
Give me on in the evening.
7 o'clock, that's right. 7 o'clock.
Because I'm supposed to be doing. I think you should do that, Master Oliver. I think you should make a little 5-minute thing. Just come in and do something real simple, and just so you can.
You know, if you do those,
I think you should get up on stage and do the splits like Jun Reed did last year.
And he did too.
He did them last year
in a suit.
What was that?
Yeah. Oh, I did, didn't I?
Yeah. At ESA.
Yeah, I'm more flexible than Jun Reed.
I missed that.
Of course, he's a lot older. Pretty impressive for like 77.
He reminds me of...
No, no.